listening to the How to Health Podcast. Turn up that stereo, plug in those earbuds, or pull up a chair. It's time to master your health journey. Here are your hosts, Dr. Heidi Cook and athletic trainer Tyler Smith. Let's ride.
Howdy, hell.
Hello, how are you?
I am finer than frog hair.
Oh, wow, that's quite fine. That's like, where'd you get that? Is that
I've got so many of those tucked up my sleeve. I should start busting those out on the pod.
For sure.
I've got way too many of those.
I have some of those, and I'll say them, and then my wife will be like, "You sound just like your father." And I was like, "Okay, I don't know if I should keep doing that or not."
Yes, I very much lean into them. Finer than frog hair. Sam's favorite that he gives when people ask how he is, he always says, "Oh man, if I were any better, I'd be twins."
I know. I've heard some people say that too. My favorite one is, he's like, "How you doing?" I'm like, "Golden like the girls." And everyone just stares at me and has no idea what I'm talking about.
My brother-in-law's favorite little saying is, you know, like, instead of like, "Does a bear shit in the woods?"
Yeah.
Or "Is the Pope Catholic?" He always says, "Does the Pope shit in the woods?"
It's like, I don't know, but I would assume everyone has to shit in the woods at one point in their life.
So that's his go-to. So I've got lots banked. I'll need to incorporate that as part of our intros moving forward.
Nice.
But we don't have a whole lot to catch up on because, spoiler alert, this is the second episode that we're recording back to back today. So we've already done our catch up. I'm still 35 weeks pregnant.
Yeah, she's still pregnant.
Baby is still a George Foreman grill. Nothing has changed in the last 10 minutes.
Which we're thankful for.
Yes, very thankful. We are starting the process of banking some episodes, kind of foreseeing the future, because my due date is now less than a month away. So
yeah, we were laughing because I was like, well, I think the best thing we could do is just be transparent. And while I joke about having emergency podcast hosts, which we are trying to avoid said situation by recording a couple of episodes each week and then we'll drip them all out, but hopefully have enough to be able to send them out if something does happen and finish the season. Because we do these like kind of in seasons. So I'm hoping to, what do we say? Wrap up date is probably around end of May, June, because I'm not fully awake yet, apparently, but that way have enough to keep you guys through the rest of the season.
Yeah. We wanted to finish the season strong, and have some episodes banked, so that we could, you know, complete season two of How to Health and, not have to cut it short or, have Tyler, you know, record the last few episodes by himself.
Lindsay talked about that and I was like, I don't have that talent that Heidi does. I don't know if I can talk for that long without another human being there to, you know what I mean? Sam, I feel like I would do what you did in that last one where I'd start talking and then you guys would just be listening to me start an idea in a sentence and then it go nowhere. And then me try to restart and then it would go nowhere.
Sometimes I start a thought and I just try and find where it's taking me along the way. Yeah. I feel that deeply, but yes. Not a whole lot to catch up on because not a whole lot has changed. I hope, whenever this episode, I have no idea when this episode could potentially air. But I hope it finds you well. I hope that you are gearing up for a glorious summer, enjoying the sunshine, working on your health and fitness and all of the things. And I hope it finds you well, regardless of whenever this episode comes out. But Tyler and I had an interesting topic idea. I'll let Tyler introduce this one, because this one was his idea. And I loved it, but I'll let him kind of share his perspective on why he wanted to talk about this.
Well, I think there have been multiple situations, both with clients and in real life, that I've seen this concept of like kind of come to bear. And it's the idea, and it'll at first maybe sound like I don't want it to be defensive, but is like the concept of, well, and you hit it kind of on the last episode that we talked about, is like what brings it to light are usually like you don't understand, or like we don't really pay close attention to deficiency holes in our health and fitness until like something happens and it brings it to the forefront. We have this way of normalizing, oh, that's just my bad knee, or, you know, like it's not that bad, everything's fine. And then something happens and you're like, oh shit, like this is not good and it's not where I want it to be. But the concept of either after that happens, or when we're not able to do something that we used to do, something that we want to do, and the concept or putting together this puzzle piece of pride, and where does it fit in there, and how is it helping us? And then in certain cases, how is it actually becoming a block or a blockade or a wall that you're not getting actually what you want done, or you're not accomplishing your goals because you're either reconnecting with a past self or something else you used to do, or you have an ego or pride that's like, well, if I can't do this anymore, I'm just not going to do anything at all. Like that's just,
yeah,
because it's like, it's hard to see yourself in a new light. And like we talk a lot about, like, we're not meeting ourselves where we're at, and we're connecting to a past experience, behavior pattern, ability to do something. And if we can't do that, it's just like, no, I'm not going to do it at all.
Yeah. It's like almost like where are our like prideful notions keeping us rooted in stagnation, or not allowing us to better ourselves, or not allowing ourselves to move forward in a different way that would be more beneficial to where we are now versus maybe where we were 5 years ago. And in that process, either causing more harm or just causing a greater divide between where we once were and where we are now, because we're unwilling to shift.
Yeah. And it's almost, it's so hard though, because it's like, it's a limiting factor, self-limiting factor that people, I don't want to say don't want to acknowledge. They will acknowledge that they can't do something, but rather than take a modification or doing something that is similar, you're right there.
Sorry, that was very loud. Sorry for any listeners. I just blew your eardrums out.
Yeah. But instead of taking like a modification on something, it's like, well, you know, it's just a throw it out the door, or like, I'm not going to do that. And it kind of, I think the hardest part about it is when I talk to people or try to do it, it is a self-reflection of ego and the ability to be like, okay, I'm not where I was, but that shouldn't stop me from doing what I can. And it's like, I just think of cases and places where that I've gone through where it's like, well, if I can't do that, I'm just not doing it. And you're like, okay. But then in the inability to do something because we can't, usually manifests itself down the road as a harder, like a decision that will ultimately lead to like what we like to say, you're picking your hard, but that later hard is going to be a much bigger deal than if we just accepted where we're at.
100%. And like, I think that concept is probably one of the A, most common, and B, most detrimental to sure. progress that we see working with individuals, is individuals holding on to past ideals of themselves, whether that's a pre-baby, right? Like that's a big one. Like going through pregnancy and postpartum and how that's impacted your overall fitness and not allowing yourself to meet yourself where you are on the other side of this. And instead, you know, beating yourself up because you're not where you once were, or previous athletes. That's another big one, right? Like holding themselves to the standard of what they could lift, their mile time, their this, their that, from, you know, when they were in college or when they were in high school and they were competing at a high level and training frequently. And now that's,
are you poking fun at me right now?
Yes.
yes, I am.
And now that's not, you know, not your reality anymore. And instead of shifting the approach, just not allowing yourself to participate at all because you can't hold yourself to that previous standard. But like, while it's a common and impactful problem, and we can sit here and talk about like just meeting yourself where you are and giving all of these solutions, which I think are helpful, I also think it's one of the most like easier said than done type
for sure
problems that we face. I can think of like the most recent, I know I'm going to experience this some when I return to heavy lifting post baby. I have not been heavy lifting. I've very much modified, you know, what I've been doing throughout pregnancy, not because you can't lift heavy during pregnancy. I very much was just listening to my body in terms of what was energizing me and what was draining me. We've had this conversation before previously. But it was, yeah, just making adjustments to maintain fitness, maintain strength, but also not like completely drain my my battery after a workout. And so I know, like, I'm already kind of like chomping at the bit of like, what is that going to look like postpartum? And again, I'm going to have to listen to my body and, you know, see what feels good and see what, you know, what that transition is going to look like. But there's going to be a big discrepancy between what I was doing and what I'm going to step back into. Not only from a fitness standpoint, but also just like a pelvic floor recovery standpoint and, you know, an abdominal, you know, core strength standpoint, all of these different things that I've been mindful of and working on throughout, but it's going to be like, I'm going to be very much confronted with that. But the situation that sticks out in my mind in terms of how I've experienced this most recently was during COVID, mm-hmm. when all of the gyms closed, and like before they reopened, even on like a, you know, kind of like half basis or whatever. There was a period of time, like we didn't have a home gym. So it was very much just like, what can I do at home? And it was a lot of body weight circuits. And we had a couple of light dumbbells and things like that. But like for weeks, that was my reality of exercise. And then, you know, the gyms reopen and I'm like, okay, like I'm excited to get back to like lifting and all of this stuff. And for weeks, you know what I avoided? The squat rack. Because I was so in my head about like how much strength I had lost in that time and how I wasn't going to be able to perform how I once did. But you know what hurt me more? The weeks that I didn't just get under the bar.
Yeah, like, exactly.
I'm just, you know, creating a larger and larger deficit. And so like, while logically, like it does not make any sense, I can very much empathize in my own experiences, but that's probably the most recent one where it was very much in my face of like my ego of maybe not being able to lift exactly what I did before the gyms closed was preventing me from going and lifting at all, which is like so counterintuitive.
Yeah. And I think, I don't know, there are times where like for me, one that I had recently been thinking about was like the summer lifting program that I usually do is like a like strong man type training thing, which I last year was the first year in 3 years that I've done it that I haven't hurt myself doing it.
Oh my God.
Like where my back did not go to kaput and be like, oh, I'm done for a little while. But that is definitely like, it's a pride thing in that where like, I want to be who I once was and I want to be able to do all that stuff. But in reality, I have to understand that like my consistency is more important. And I'm like seriously looking at like, I know it makes it might make people laugh is like, I might go buy like an expensive sled because it's still getting me a good workout, but it's like less risk involved. And like, that's one thing you have to understand is like the risk reward for me is starting to like, it's, I hit the peak and I'm going downhill, like the risk reward in that type of training. But it still is a reminder where it's like, okay, that is like, it's a pride thing in that I want to do it, but in the reality, I'm starting to come around to like, well, what should I do? And what can I do to make sure like I'm still healthy? I still feel good. I'm doing, all those things. And I think there's just been the second note or the side note is I think a couple times it's hit kind of somewhat close to home, because I've had a couple examples close to me of understanding like, and it specifically can be on both sides, but as we get older that like pride is keeping people from doing a lot of stuff because they're putting it in front of like, well, you know, like, well, I can't do that. Or like I used to not be able to do that. And like, it turns into one of these situations where I look at the whole situation itself and how that person reacts to it. And I look at like the positives and negatives. And I've said this before, I'm one of those people where I look like at a behavior and find like, I don't want that to be me. And I've seen it so many times where pride is keeping someone from like being active or being like able to do what they can do because it's just like I don't know what it is, like a pride thing. And I like, I'm just, that's why this came up is because I was like, I just want to talk to people about it and be like, let's just have fun. You know what I mean? A little bit like understand, like, I think one thing that I've noticed that people who still try to do stuff kind of make light of it as they do it. You know what I mean? Like, going to do something and like laugh, he'd like, you know, the person at the gym who's 75 and still doing stuff, but he can be like, get under a bar, squat a little bit, and then look at you and be like, well, you know, it's not what it was when I was 20, but you know, like kind of laugh and make you like, okay, like they still got it. They understand that they can't do that, but it's still healthy for them to build that behavior where they can laugh at themselves, they can joke about it, but they're still doing what they love to do.
Yeah. Yeah. And so I think, you know, really asking yourself, like, where is my pride creating a deficit, can be a good place to start. Where is it, yeah, causing more harm than good? And again, this like comes back to, and I know I harp and talk about it all the time about, just, you know, as humans, we get into our day-to-day, we get into our routines. It's easy to brush stuff off. It's easy to push things off, with all of the other life things, right? Like fitness, health are all, you know, accessories to our life. They help make our life better. They are not what our life revolves around, you know, health being one thing, but like fitness in general.
Sure.
And it, I think, is really easy for us to continue to punt, because of all of the, you know, all of the different responsibilities that we have, that it can be challenging to take the time for self-reflection. The kind of self-reflection that it takes to like really confront yourself and say, okay, like, is this helping me you know, is this mindset, is this approach actually helping me? And, you know, more times than not, it's not. But we don't often give ourselves that space to have that time of self-reflection with ourselves or with a third party. And so I think that can be really helpful in terms of, like, if we're looking to just like take a step, a singular step, for me in my brain, like the most impactful step we can take is taking like 10, 20 minutes a week to like sit and actually ask ourselves some challenging questions.
Yeah. And I think you have to look at it in, and I know I've been beating it down on one side, but it's also, those challenging questions I love because you can look at it in two different ways. Like, what am I not doing that I should be doing that would help my health, you know, benefit? But also like, what am I continuing to do? And I will speak like just for a second to like a lot of guys, what am I continuing to do that begrudgingly and bullheaded I shouldn't be doing because it's not helping me as well? You know what I mean? Like, you can get into that headspace too, where like, you know, I make the joke that, I want to be able to like shovel my driveway till I'm like 90 years old. But like, right. if I shovel my driveway and I'm 80 and I'm holed up on the couch for a week because it hurts, then it's like, okay, well, I either got to look at what I need to do to make that a reality, or maybe that's something like I need to drop my pride and be like, yeah, we're going to snowblow from here on out. Like, let's outsource and do something else. Is like trying to look at a reflection, but also be like safe and understanding that like we have seasons of life and it changes. That doesn't mean, I would always say that with the caveat where like there's an inspirational poster or something like that, and it's based on Monopoly, and then like it just says like the rent is due every day. Mm-hmm. And I just like under that understanding where it's like I can't give up, you know what I mean? I can't just be like, you know what, I can't do that. Like, I'm not like because of XYZ. Like, you have to still be able to find that happy medium. And I think writing down stuff is a great way to understand, like, what am I struggling at? What am I not struggling at? And where, you know, can I make some changes to make that a reality? It's kind of like that very funny commercial. That's not funny. I've actually loved it. It was some commercial where this old elderly couple was just walking up the stairs at their house back and forth, back and forth, back and forth. And it was like in preparation to go to like a baseball game and walk all the stairs to get there. Like those type of things is like, okay, what can I do? What can't I do? And like, they made a plan and figured out how to overcome that obstacle and didn't let, you know, like the pride, someone who is super prideful might be like, well, I can't go up the stairs. We're not going to the game. Right. It's like, okay, well, maybe we can't right now, but if we start December and start walking up and down some stairs, we might be able to get there by the end of the time. And then you're not robbing yourself of an experience because of an inability to do something.
Yeah. It's like that one commercial of that guy who would go out on his patio every day and just like lift the kettlebell up, and his neighbor was like watching him and trying to figure out like what he was doing. And then, you know, a few months later, fast forward, and he's like lifting his granddaughter up.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's a similar idea, but I think, you know, there's three questions we can kind of ask ourselves here, and not to put the cart before the sauna here. But I think like those three reflective questions that I would want you to walk away from this episode and being like, okay, in terms of self-reflection, where is my pride creating a deficit? Like, where am I not showing up because I don't want to feel lesser than a previous version of myself?
Sure.
Where is my pride keeping me, you know, doing things that are not helpful for me? I think there was maybe a better way I could have phrased that, but like, what are we doing, you know, in the name of pride and ego that aren't actually moving the needle forward for us and are maybe causing more harm than good? And then the third question, I think, is like, I think pride is often talked about in a negative way, but there's some positive to having a sense of pride in how you're going to show up in your life, you know, and different goals and ideals, similar to Tyler's in like, you know, there's a sense of pride in him wanting to be able to, you know, shovel his driveway until he's 90. And I don't think that's necessarily a bad thing. And so like, where is your pride helping you and guiding you to actions that will help you show up as the version that you want to show up, and see maybe where there's some overlap, or see, you know, if there's any patterns between these like positive behaviors that have come about because of our pride, pride in ourselves, and again, like how we're showing up in different roles in our life, and any patterns that we're recognizing in terms of where our pride is really getting in our way.
I think pride is an amazing tool if it drives you to make positive changes. But it can be a, like any tool, it can be used for harm or negative if you're not allowing it, like if it's keeping you from doing stuff. And so those questions I think are, you know, like pivotal stuff is like, you know, the shovel the driveway, or like, I want to be independent like later in life. I don't want to be stuck here. So I need, I mean, granted at some point, like, you know, Father Time is undefeated. We're not going to be able to win that battle, but like the ability to allow it to help you set goals and to change a lifestyle is like a great thing. And I think it's, but if you're using it as an excuse to not do stuff, then we're obviously moving in the opposite direction. And so, you know, as much as we harp on it, you're absolutely right. It is going to be something that can help you formulate goals and make positive changes and be able to create a better version of yourself if you use it correctly.
100%. I agree wholeheartedly. You ready to go to the sauna?
I am ready to go to the sauna.
What's up, everyone? Welcome. Let's head to sauna and let's dive in.
Let's go. Okay. I feel like we both kind of, again, we summarized maybe before we got to the sauna, but is there anything that you would like to add or drive home now that we're here?
I think the only thing that I would say, because I know, you know, we kind of have a variety of listeners, mostly female, but some male, but like, if you notice that your spouse or significant other maybe is running into this problem, I think there's a lot of value in sitting down and doing this exercise together. You know what I mean? Like writing down these things, and then sharing them with each other and being vulnerable and like understanding like, well, what did you see? Like having a real conversation. I picture myself like Lindsay and I sitting down and talking about it and just being okay with like, what do you see? Because you can also normalize or put blinders on. But I think if you can set that aside and be like, hey, this is going to create, this person is coming from a place of love. And if we can figure out this together, then ultimately we're helping each other. And that's not a bad thing. That's something that, you know, we need to be aware of, that we need to be cognizant of, but also to help us grow as a person and just well round ourselves, and not let this idea or this concept of pride be a barrier to what we want to do in life.
Yeah, I don't think I could add anything to that that would make what you said better. I think I would just be talking to talk at this point. I think how you summarized that was perfect. I think also adds a little something that we didn't talk about at all during the episode of just like how you can utilize your support people to help confront you. I think sometimes like the people around us notice these tendencies, maybe sometimes before we notice them for ourselves.
Oh, for sure.
And so how can we, you know, utilize our support people to help us work through this concept? I think is an excellent additional point that we didn't bring up through the meat of the episode.
Sure.
You're on trivia this week.
I am. And I'm piggybacking. I'm totally stealing your trivia idea from
deal.
Whatever episode, I don't know where this is going to come out, but don't worry about it, everyone.
We're going to have two nostalgia trivias.
Yeah, we are. This is the 2000s episode, so this is right up your alley. You should hit all these. Are you ready?
Yeah.
Which artist earned the distinction of being the best-selling musician in the 2000s?
Britney Spears.
No, it's a male.
Oh. Singular artist?
Yep.
So it's not like NSYNC.
No.
Could it be Justin Timberlake on his own? No, because he didn't really come out on his own until later. I'm stumped.
Eminem.
Oh, wow.
I think you say it too, you're like, that makes sense. He was really popular.
Yeah. Would not have guessed, but like in retrospect makes total sense.
Okay. Which movie had the highest box office collections for the 2000s?
Which movie had the highest box office collections? Ooh. See, this is tough because I was like, when did Harry Potter come out?
I don't know, but that's not it. But I get what you're saying. I would have to find that.
Like, you know, in the early 2000s, like I was still young. So like super like peak pop culture stuff, I was not, you know, I was watching The Little Mermaid still probably, you know, in 2003, I was only 10 years old, you know.
I was in college.
Yeah, I don't know. My guess is Harry Potter but I really don't think
that's a good guess. Harry Potter came out in 2001, but the highest gross was Avatar.
Oh, that's shocking.
That is shocking. Which social media giant came into existence in 2004?
Social media giant came out in 2004. Was that Facebook?
Yes, it was Facebook.
Nailed it.
What is the name of the film that won popular rapper Eminem his first Oscar for Best Original Song in the 2000s?
What's the name of the song? Because I feel so empty without me. Da, 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 da. You know that song?
Yeah.
I can't think of the name of it. What is that Without Me?
Hold on. No, they don't say the song. But I know the movie, the film.
Oh, what's the film?
8 Mile.
Oh, what's the song in that?
I think it's that Lose Yourself song.
Oh, yeah. That makes, yeah.
I don't know. That's not what it's called. So don't crucify me. Yeah. I don't know what it's called.
Music moment, you own it. You better never let it go.
Yeah, that one. Okay, Couple War. The popular term podcast first came into existence in what year?
The term podcast.
Yeah.
Oh. 2011.
Four.
What?
Yeah, which is funny because
podcasts were a thing. Like
that's when the term came out. But yeah, I feel the same way. I feel like it didn't get popular till much later. So last one. Let's make it a good one. Oh. When was the first iPhone released? This just makes me feel old as hell. Just super old.
Okay, hold on. Let me backtrack. two thousand and eight.
2007.
Oh, so close.
June, it was 2007. And now I don't know. We're on version like what, 26.0 or something? I don't know where we're at with.
Yeah. I don't know either. Wow. Yeah. I was trying to backtrack because I was like, okay. In my soccer playing days, I was still using an iPod Shuffle. And I had my iPod Shuffle, and then I knew they came out with the iPhone, and then I did not even get a smartphone of any kind until I was like later in college. Yeah. I still had the one that slid.
The slid? Oh.
It slid and had a keyboard. It was red. It was pretty cool.
It was pretty awesome. I'm not gonna, like, I'm just saying.
Sometimes I'd like to go back to those days. Like, sometimes I'm like, man, it'd be really nice to just go back to like a flip phone.
Yeah, that's a trending thing now. People, like, young kids are getting flip phones because they are trying to get away from smartphones, which is interesting. It's like this pendulum swing the other way, where they recognize that we're spending a little bit too much time on our phones.
Yes. I just saw somebody online. She posted a video, and it was like of her and her husband. Her husband was just sitting on the couch on his flip phone. And she said that, you know, that he switched to a flip phone like a year ago and has never been happier. And I was like, man, actually would be a really hard transition, I think. Like a very challenging transition, but I think I'd be into it.
Yeah, it would definitely be interesting, but yes, it would be nice.
Like, just wonder how much time I feel like I would have.
Just, you know, given the gift of time.
Yeah, just get rid of the smartphone, get a flip phone. Anyways, great episode, great combo. Hopefully it was helpful, insightful, and got your wheels turning a little bit.
Yep. Thanks for listening, and we will see you next week.